In both the passages we heard from John's Gospel, the light is that is the Word, the light that is Jesus, is our main theme. I want to think about these passages in reverse order, and I hope in doing so it will make some sense of both our readings. As is always the case, the context of biblical text is important in how we understand what is being said, especially when in today's text Jesus is speaking about himself. So let me start by taking us back 2 millennia and offering some of the sights and sounds that make Jesus' words all the more significant. He was speaking during the Feast of the Booths or Tabernacles. It was a time for the Jews to look back to the years when God led the people out of Egypt. These had been frightening and heady days. Pharaoh had been left weeping in his palace over the death of his son and had chased the Hebrews out into the wilderness. These were the first steps they took to freedom. But they had been bound up in Egypt for over 400 years. They did not know the land to which they were heading, and nor did they know the way to go. But God led them with a cloud by day and a fiery pillar by night. And so this feast was built around that wilderness wandering. And for a week, the Jews remembered the wilderness generation by building tents and living in them. But it was not in the wilderness, but the light that is remembered in the festival. The feast takes place on the 15th day of the 7th month. It's the time of year that as the sun is setting, the moon is already rising. So there is never a time when there's not a light in the sky. As the Jews sat in their tents during the festival, they remembered the light was always with them. The fiery pillar, the light in the sky, the guidance of God in the wilderness, always there for them in the place where they had no map or experience. This is a passage where John is explaining who Jesus is by using pictures and context of this festival of the booths. All the symbolism of light and God's presence are fulfilled in Jesus, the light that guided the ancients across the wilderness and into the promised land is that which is found in Jesus. The Jews who had left Egypt walking to freedom find themselves once more a captured people. The land they call home is now under the control of the Romans. Times again were dark. Jesus is claiming to be the light that is promising him a new route to freedom once again. But it's a different kind of freedom. Not the freedom from being a captured people, but a freedom from their sins and wayward living. And he's speaking whilst in the temple, the most symbolic of places where all around him Jesus can see how far the Jewish people have come from a true understanding of God and God's love. The Gospel writer John has cleverly contextualized Jesus in the story of the Exodus. The story remembered through the festival of guiding light is continued and fulfilled in Jesus, the light guiding people now. And it is a spectacular festival. There are 4 great lampstands, each holding 4 bowls filled with oil, the wicks being made from the garments of the priests. And these lamps would burn all night, bright and orange, reflected across the white stone of the temple. Indeed, for the whole feast, these lamps would burn. A whole 7 days and nights mixed with music and singing in the courts of the temple, where crowds would gather to watch and take part. The light would reflect off the gates and walls and could be seen for miles around the city. It would have been a spectacular sight. In this context, the feast speaks of liberation and freedom and godly presence and promise. And John has Jesus' claim for himself, "I am the light of the world." The prologue to John's Gospel are words that resonate throughout Advent and the Christmas season. And today is not the first time that we've heard them in the last month. They are among some of my favourite words in the Bible. And wonderful, wonderful words to begin the new year with. It's simply fabulous to be reminded right at the beginning of a new year that in the beginning was the Word. a source of life and a life that brought light, which the darkness has never managed to put out. And there's a huge similarity and resonance between the beginning of John's gospel and that of the very beginning of the Bible in the opening words of Genesis. So let's hear a few verses from there. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the water. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. And here again the opening words of John's Gospel. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God was in the beginning. He brought light. The Word was with God, the source of life and light. We use that expression that describes the Bible as the Word. We often refer to it as the Word of God. And in worship, we give the Word a prominent place. It's carried in and placed in the lectern each Sunday. But not just placed there, it's opened. And there's something quite special in the symbolism of the Bible being opened at the page of the readings for that day. The Word open and floating out and into the church. My task each week is to try and give meaning to the words read, and in some way that they might impact on our lives and our daily living, making the Word relevant for the here and now. Over and over again, I'm taken aback by how ancient words, millennia old, can still have something to say to us today. The Word is as relevant today as it was when it was first recorded. The Word. The Bible is a collection of texts split into two parts, the Old and the New Testament, the before Jesus and the after Jesus, and yet so inextricably intertwined with each other. The festival of the booths being used by John to connect the ancient wilderness years with Jesus. Just one example of how the Old and New Testaments are one part of one great big picture. The Word of God, is Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was God, the source of life that brought light to people. In approaching the Word, we read it through many different lenses. We read it, first of all, through the lens that is our own experience. How has it been preached or taught to us throughout our lives? How have we read it or studied it? Not everyone has the opportunity that I had to immerse myself in theological and biblical studies for 3 years. But can I let you into a secret? No one at university told us what to think about what the Bible said. Not one of my excellent lecturers provided definitive thinking on what the Word contains. Rather, we were taught how to read the Word through the different lenses, how to contextualize the words we studied. Because these words are not just black marks on a page and lifeless. They have history, culture, and some of the words were written for a particular set of people. To read the words of the Bible and to keep them static and not to explore beyond them is to suck all life out of them and often miss what they're really saying to us today. Now, this, of course, is where difficulties begin, because when you start to read through various Bible commentaries, listen to different preachers, you hear different interpretations and often quite polarized expressions of what the Word is saying. And so we end up with different ideas about many of the teachings of the Bible. And people can get quite heated about these. But I've said this before and I'll say it again. There is a gospel imperative about loving your neighbor and loving God that rises up above all of these. And there's another imperative in our reading of the Word this morning, that the darkness has never put out the light. I love the Bible, and I love the imperatives, that we hear and see in it. They are timeless. They've stood the test of time and will continue to do so. Whatever your approach to the Bible is, these imperatives will hold fast. But what are we to do with them? What are we to do with the word? There's a famous saying that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, we know, we all know that that's untrue. I doubt there's anyone here who has not been hurt by the words of another person. Often even the most well-meaning of words can hurt us to the core. So how do our words reflect on the word? In our day-to-day interactions with people, either at home or in the workplace, how do the words we say affect those around us? Our English language and indeed our dialects are both colourful, with words for all kinds of situations and with all kinds of meanings. But do we use them for the good? Or are we guilty of letting words do damage? Do we use words to uplift, or do we use them to knock down? Do we use words to heal or to wound? Do we use words to let the light shine or allow the darkness to cloud over? The word. The Bible contains all kinds of words. There are passages in the Bible that would be given a Certificate 18 rating for violence or because of their sexual content, if ever made into a film. But the vast majority of the words are words that are there for the good, to uplift, to heal, to let the light shine. We sang Jesus is the Light earlier in our service, that beautiful hymn written by Leith Fisher, a simple yet powerful song. Simple and yet challenging, because can our friends see the light in us? Do we put our words into action, or do we allow words to damage, knock down, wound, or let that darkness cloud over? It is a challenge for all of us to let the light of Christ shine in our lives. But it is, if we don't do that, then how can we attract others to a life with Christ? If people can't see the light shining through the darkness, then what will attract them to become part of our community of faith? I said to someone recently who'd been struggling a bit with their faith not to give up, because God has never given up on us. The light still shines. The Word made flesh in Jesus Christ still loves us, still loves the world, still has work to do, still needs us to do that work. We can be the Word incarnate in the world today, in our lives, in our words and actions. We can speak up for the Word. We can be living, breathing people of grace and truth, letting the light shine brightly. So here's a challenge for all of us. A New Year's resolution, if you need one. How about we begin this year making a bigger effort at each being the light of Jesus? To use our words more carefully. My mum has a saying, if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. In our interactions with family and friends, at work, and even in our church groups, be aware of how your words might come across. Are they words that build up or knock down? Are they words that wound or heal? Are they words that let the light shine or the darkness cloud over? Similarly, our actions. They should be for the good. All the fine words in the world mean nothing if our actions speak louder, because those actions are counter to what we say. As we move into a new year together, I'm excited about the future, about the opportunities ahead for us as a church to let the word shine. Today is Epiphany, the day that we traditionally pack up Christmas and put it away until next Advent. I want to suggest that the work of Christmas has only just begun. Yes, we've had our celebrations. The light of Christ has come into the world, and it's now time for the work of Christmas to begin. as we leave this place and take the light of Christ out into our community, our families, into the world. I'm reminded of that wonderful poem by Howard Thurman, and it's entitled, Now the Work of Christmas Begins. And he wrote, when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. Amen.